Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
for? That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right, let's play a little Would You Rather. In a real life scenario, but we're going to get your answer before I give you the context of the story that this comes from. Would you rather spend 60 days in a correctional facility or a full year on probation and also 100 hours of community service? Greg Bach, which one would you pick?
Option B.
A year probation.
Yeah.
And a community service.
Yep.
Jane Mattner, which one would you pick?
Oh, yeah. A year probation and community service over jail?
Yeah, that for does, 60 days, for 2 months.
Yeah, does not.
Just get it over and done with, and you've served.
I think jail.
This seems like a trick.
I think jail and I would not do well together.
Really? I feel like you would be like a dead mother in jail. I feel like you would like ingratiate yourself to like a lot of people really quickly. And like, it's like the different characters from Orange is the New Black. Like, you'd be like red. You just have to do your Russian accent.
You'll all be fine. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. Just come to me and I'll fix for you.
Exactly.
Matt,
exactly.
You think they're looking for dead mothers in jail?
I don't know.
I think I'd be the woman who'd get beat up trying to be the dead
mother
in jail.
You just have to lie about what you're in there for.
And make it worse.
And be like, I killed my husband and his family.
With a pencil.
Yes.
She's in for jaywalking.
Well,
and they all moved away from me on the bench.
Okay, so I feel like I'm probably with both of you too as far as probation and... I guess maybe just learning more about what probation, because sometimes probation is really tricky. You can't hang out with like other, you can't be in any vicinity of like other felons. You can't be in a bar. Like there's a lot of stuff that like catches you up on probation.
True.
And you know what the correctional facility is. So there's some more gray area there that I can't answer the questions to. But this is a Wisconsin story. This is the Shorewood lawyer who spit on. You remember this story from 2020 during the George Floyd protest in Milwaukee?
No.
So there was
a lot was happening back then.
A lot was happening back then. But Stephanie Rapkin, the Shorewood lawyer who was convicted of a misdemeanor after spitting on a black teenager during a racial protest in 2020, chose to spend 60 days in jail instead of do community service and probation.
She should have gotten both. That's called white
so
privilege.
So she's 67 years old, and she outright rejected the judge's sentence of a year probation and 100 hours in community service, choosing instead to spend 60 days in the House of Correction as punishment. And I'm so interested. This woman just sounds like a pill in general. Because what happened as far as her, it's a misdemeanor, it's battery to spit on someone. But on top of that, she got caught lying on under oath, and
that was a felony.
When she was resisting arrest, she kneed the police officer in the groin.
Ooh.
So she sounds like a.
She might do well in jail.
She might hold her own.
She probably loves Texas.
But I thought that was so interesting, as far as the, and I don't think it's the first time I've heard that of someone saying I would rather just serve the time and be done entirely for a shorter amount of time than spend a year of this hanging over my head or 3 years of this hanging over my head. So I'm interested for you listening. Would you rather? Would you rather 2 months correctional facility, two crappy months versus a slightly crappy full year?
And some community service.
And a community service. Maybe she really doesn't want to do the community service because she does not seem like a great community member.
And honestly, though, when this broke the other day, that was my first thought is... And again, this is an assumption. I don't know this woman. I don't need to. I'm perfectly fine with my community. I don't need to do that. I'll take the jail.
Yeah.
I'm not working for the community. Nope. Don't need to. Nope.
Her actual quote was, when she was offered the probation and the community service is, it's not viable. I'd rather go to jail right now and take care of it.
It's not viable.
I hate this woman. if you pull back on this whole thing, it is such a commentary on white privilege and the prison system and all these, like, she is the worst human of the day.
Well, and I don't, I mean, I do not feel bad for this woman at all, but at least in the, this is from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and just the, her neighbors won't associate with her. She's received death threats, which that is bad.
That's terrible.
But she's been labeled a racist, and she's basically seen her professional reputation destroyed. But she's been indignant about this whole thing. I mean, one, she lied on under oath, but also, you know, the fact that she's not apologized.
Well, she's lied under oath. She assaulted a police officer. Apparently, like, those two crimes aren't, I mean, 60 days in prison for battery, assaulting a police officer, and my guess, they could throw resisting arrest if she need an officer in the nuggets. Mm-hmm. And then also lying under oath, that's a felony. That's just a felony.
So now that I reread this, she that trial hasn't started yet. Oh. So she's facing an additional felony charge.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Of battery to a law enforcement officer. And that it stems from her arrest after the spitting incident when she kneed an officer in the groin. She's pleaded not guilty to that and is scheduled to go to trial in August.
I have a feeling. I call it a hunch, Jane and Kristen. Just a hunch. Her neighbors who don't associate with her now didn't like her a whole lot beforehand.
No. Oh, my God.
She doesn't seem like this. You don't just all of a sudden.
Who spits? Come on. Who spits?
I mean,
who spits at strangers?
I don't spit, period. I think it's gross. It's disgusting.
I am closely linked with someone who is, from his track days, I've never met someone who spits as much as he does. But he does it, like, not in public. It's just like when we're I'm talking about Mike.
I kind of assumed.
Yeah, wow.
It's wild to me as far as, and he's like, he says it's from his track days of just, like, having gum and, like, the saliva. I was like, you're 40.
Yeah.
Cut it out. But he's never person.
I still poop my pants because, you know, it's back in the old days when I wore diapers. I can't help it. I did it right now. It feels great.
844-967.
Very time efficient.
2789 844-96-PARTY. Would you rather spend 60 days in jail or a year on probation and 100 hours of community service? 844-967-PARTY.
And the reason why I did not choose jail is because the, you know, just ever reading a book on the topic, the trauma that you can go through, that you do go through being in jail. I mean, it rewires your brain. I mean, if you're in prison, even 60 days can do it to you because you are treated like you're treated so poorly, like an animal. Now, like, I'm not putting that experience because I have no experience doing it. I've never been arrested. I've never been in any sort
I've never been arrested. Jane, have you been arrested?
I have not.
Okay.
Knock on wood.
Look at us.
But yeah, but then the residual. So, like, I guess the question is, are they saying 60 days and then there's no probation? There's no nothing after that? You don't have to register as anything?
Well, I mean, she may get more serious jail time if she gets convicted of a felony. But at least for this misdemeanor, this is what she chose.
Yeah. And with you know, death threats notwithstanding, good. She chose her path. She took the action. She gets to pay the price. That's it. I feel no sympathy for her.
And I don't know, when they say the Milwaukee County House of Correction, so it's a medium security level county jail.
Yeah,
so it's
Franklin.
a jail, not a prison, located in Franklin, as Jane just said. I don't know where it says, and I don't know the conditions of male versus female.
Well,
how much interaction you have with other inmates.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much this is going to feel like Orange is the New Black, is my point.
I don't think it's going to be that. Because in Orange is the New Black, they are in a prison.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing too, is like, we're so desensitized by prison movies or movies that have any sort of semblance of prison. It's like, oh, do you get your own cell? Do you have a cellmate? Are you doing this? Do you get a suit? Do you get 23 hours?
Do you get
1 hour? You know, it's all these different. No, yeah.
Do you get to have some steamy lesbian sex?
I wouldn't know. I've never been thrown into a woman's facility. No surprises. She said, no, I don't want to do that. Ugh.
I know. But yeah, I just like, it's less, I care less about her and the, I mean, I'm happy that there's ramifications for what she did, but I just thought that was an interesting, because I feel like sometimes for like drunken disorderly conduct, I've heard of this option being laid out of like you spend 30 days in jail or yeah. X amount of days on probation and all this community service. And like just the calculus that one would go through to be like, I would rather just like short and intense and move on with my life versus having this hang over my head. And I feel like I need more information on the conditions because I could get a lot of reading done in 60 days. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know that they just let you lay around and read. I have
what do you
feel,
do?
But I don't know.
In the prison system, they make you work.
But it's not the prison system. It's the House of Corrections.
I mean,
even so, you would think they would have to have some kind of programs.
Yeah.
What I found on the web from the Milwaukee Women's Correctional Center, this is on Keefe Avenue. It's a 109-bed minimum security center in the city of Milwaukee committed to providing a safe and secure environment. Placing a great emphasis on personal responsibility, trust, and maturity, and expects individuals to coexist respectfully.
Well, like four of those five things you just said, she ain't doing. So, so you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, this is ridiculously funny to me because it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want. I just think of that character Pedro Pascal plays on SNL. He's like, I die. I go to jail. Jail's easier. Yeah, I mean, and it's not even, it doesn't even feel like a punishment at this point. When you get a choice, I would have sentenced her to where, that's it. You're sentenced to a year of probation, and I'm telling you where you're going to serve your public service. At the Boys and Girls Club on the north side.
There you go.
Good luck. They will not take your guff.
All right, and on that note, when we come back, Greg's Roundup.
I'm rounding it up.
You're rounding it up with some jokes and some headlines.
I hope they're funny.
And then at 12:30, we're talking to Genevieve Redston, reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about why there is a Wisconsin housing shortage. Four different reasons. You want to hear what they are? You got to stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Like a break in the Bible was your part. Oh, in the wretched life of a lonely heart.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
So what did I mean? Virginia, my home, sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. Mwah. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this. There's a letter on my desk.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And it's that time on a Wednesday, hump day, Greg Bach day, for Greg's weekly roundup. Of headlines we may have not covered.
All the news you missed. Well, actually, five headlines you may have read but skipped altogether. It's Greg's weekly roundup.
Weekly roundup.
Let's start with a story coming out of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he is running for president, and he did it with Elon Musk on Twitter, which answers the question, yes, Twitter can get worse. Let's see here. Soon to be former Twitter CEO, Elon Musk plans to sell red check marks for DeSantis' campaign while still trying to convince the world he's a moderate rather than a real life Bond villain. Now, I'm looking at your face right now and you're thinking to yourself, is he really going to do that? He's not, but you had no idea.
I was going to say, I did not hear about a red check mark.
You should call Elon. He could use some ideas.
So you just made that up entirely?
I just made that up entirely. Mm. Oh, I'm a sneaky fella.
And I believe the announcement is happening tonight.
Oh, tonight? Oh, yeah. Who cares? all right, let's see here. Entertainment news. ABC has rolled out a fall season, which it's calling Strike Proof, in the face of the current WGA strike, soon to possibly be the SAG-AFTRA strike as well, as their voting closes next week. And it looks like they're going to strike along with the writers. But shows in this quote-unquote strike-proof season include Dancing with the Stars, Dancing with the Camera Operators, and a three-hour program called America's Funniest $100,000 Shark Tank Pyramid of Bachelors. Can't wait to see it.
So is it all reality TV?
It's all reality TV. All unscripted, all reality. And then they'll have certain blocks of reruns they're going to do as well. Like they specifically said Abbott Elementary, which I feel like was a dig because Quinta Brunson is
a writer first, right?
Oh, queen to me. Yeah, writer, performer, but like is like the darling of network comedy because that show is so smart and so funny. Mm-hmm. It's won so many awards. They're like, yeah, we're going to run Abbott Elementary. I'm sure she's probably like, I hate all of you. Yeah.
Well, and they're like, take that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, look forward to DVRing that one or recording it on my VHS tapes.
Right as Netflix, we'll talk about this later, but like this is happening right as Netflix is going to start charging as of today for that extra user. No more sharing passwords.
Oh, wow.
I got no problem with that. My family might. All right, moving on.
Wait, do you have any updates on Robin Voss for us?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me see here. I'm just going to flip through it. Yep. He sucks. Moving on. A Massachusetts father and son were sentenced in federal court on Monday for a scheme that saw the pair illegally claim more than $20 million in lottery winnings and then lie on their tax returns to dodge more than $6 million in federal taxes. Mohammed and Ali Jafar now realize they would have gotten away with defrauding the government if their last name was Amazon. Yahoom!
Wait, so retail? So they basically they won the lottery?
No, they didn't. So here's what they did was they paid winners for their lottery tickets.
Okay.
And they took the money and then they so the people if I explained this correctly, they paid so if you won the lottery, they would contact and be like, "Hey, I'll give you money for that winning lottery ticket and in a way to get away from the taxes for yourself and also putting yourself out there, getting your identity known, you sold them your ticket for a less amount." They then took those lottery tickets and claimed the winnings and then defrauded the taxes on it too. I don't know the full thing. I saw it on CNN.
Seems very convoluted.
It's very convoluted, and it seems like it costs at the end of the day way more than what they had won because they had to get people like at the gas station in on this. They had to get people in the lottery committee. Like they had to have a network of people. And at one point, you're like, the fish has been torn away by the water. It's not even worth it anymore.
Never heard that metaphor before.
This is the old man in the sea. He puts the fish on the side of the boat. By the time he gets to the land, all the other animals have chipped away at the, and he's got a skeleton. Oh. Greg's Roundup in Literature reviews.
All right, what else you got?
Read a book. All right, let's see here. Stephen Marcus is stepping down as board chair at Milwaukee-based hotel and cinema operators Marcus Corp. And will be succeeded by his son, Greg Marcus, who has served more than 30 years in that. Stephen has served more than 30 years in that role. And Greg has been appointed the new director chairman. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm reading this incorrectly. Greg Marcus will be serving as chief operating officer, president, and board chair. And I'm hoping that this new responsibility will mean he no longer has time to make those stupid commercials before movies. Because frankly, I can't tell if he's affable or crazy. But my money is on crazy. So.
What do you think is what's a more watchable commercial? AMC and Nicole Kidman or Dave Marcus?
Greg Marcus. I would rather watch Greg Marcus.
Okay.
Because at least with Greg Marcus I'm like,
there's facial movement.
wanting to be connecting to the audience, and I do think he loves movies. I think he seems like a genuinely happy guy. Like of course he's a multimillionaire, so who wouldn't be happy then? But you're also, when you look at those CEOs, you're like, what kind of dead-eyed, horrible things do you do when we're not looking that you think is normal? You drink blood, don't you? But yeah, so there's that one. Let's see here. Hey, Summerfest fans, are you clamoring to find out whether or not Jimmy Buffett is going to be playing at the big gig this year? Me either. I really only brought this up to tell you that to everyone who's listening, that Jimmy Buffett is worth $1 billion.
Is that because of his restaurants?
It's because of the restaurants. And the man has written one song I've heard and the other one about cheeseburger. And he is worth more than Paul McCartney or Dr. Dre. Are you serious?
He's worth more than Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre is not even, he's not even a bill. No, he's.
He's a billionaire from Beats?
No, no, he's, I said worth as much as Paul McCartney.
Oh, I said more than.
But even Dr. Dre isn't fully a billionaire yet. He's not that. Oh, we're done. Oh, man, I added one more story.
But we have more show left.
Yay!
You can sneak it in later. Yeah. All right, when we come back, Genevieve Redston will be here from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk about what has led to the housing shortage. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Better think of something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom of this. Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home. Mr. Jefferson, welcome home, sir. You've been on the
house. Is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And if you haven't heard, Wisconsin's in a housing shortage. We talked a little bit yesterday about the bills that have been introduced to try to mitigate that. But before those bills were introduced earlier this month in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there was a little bit of a deep dive as far as why we are in this mess, as far as Wisconsin not having enough housing. So here to talk about the article that she wrote is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel real estate reporter Genevieve Redston. How you doing, Genevieve?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so excited to have you. So as far as this, as reading your article and what you found, basically this can be pinpointed back to like 2008 as far as kind of being the starting point for all of this?
Yeah, definitely. That's really when things started to go downhill in the construction business in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin's households kept growing, the population of the state grew, and we didn't build enough houses to accommodate all those new households and people.
And so when we're talking, so households, when you refer to households in your article, mm-hmm. it's always that those are the families. Those are the people who are looking, who need mm-hmm. a unit to live in. And so that could be one person, that could be a family, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I live in a studio apartment. It's just me. I count as my own household.
Okay.
And so sometimes this is a question that comes up often because Milwaukee's population is shrinking. But if you look around town in Milwaukee, you see all these cranes, you see apartments going up. So people often ask, wait a minute, if Milwaukee's shrinking, what's up with all the new housing? And the answer is people are living in smaller households. There are far more singles and couples who need a place to live than there used to be when people had large families, but all piled into one home.
And that's is really interesting because I feel like on the, like, mm-hmm. as you just said, across Wisconsin, even with moderate population growth, mm-hmm. we need more people. There's a labor shortage, all this mm-hmm. stuff, but all at the same time, even with the moderate or declining population growth we've had in different parts of the state, mm-hmm. there's still not enough housing.
Yeah, almost all the household growth in the last decade has been among singles and couples.
Wow. Okay. And so mm-hmm. in your article, you identify basically the four key ways that housing has changed since 2008. So I figured we could kind of just take each one and you could go give us a little deeper dive on each one. So the first one was land development slowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So the big picture is, like I said, we just didn't build enough houses, but it's also about the kind of homes that we built. So Daphne Chen, who's the data reporter, and I, we took a look first at land, because something I've been hearing from a lot of developers is it's not nearly as easy to finance subdivision projects this decade as it was in the decade leading up to the crash. So when a developer is building a new neighborhood, you know, taking undeveloped land, paving roads, installing sewage lines, turning it into a neighborhood, when they create a new lot, typically that is certified by the Wisconsin Department of Administration. And in the mid-90s and early 2000s, land development in Wisconsin was going gangbusters. And you can see that in the DOA data that shows, you know, in 2003, 2004, 2005, you know, the peak of Wisconsin's housing boom, developers were creating tons of new lots, more than 20,000 a year. Not all of these became single family homes. Some were, you know, spec development. Others were commercial lots, but a lot of these became single family homes that people ended up living in. And then when the market went belly up, that development virtually ground to a halt. In 2010, just 1,283 new lots were certified by the DOA.
Wow.
So in the years since, it's become a lot harder to develop new residential neighborhoods on empty lots. The housing market recovered, but land development really didn't. That's because labor and material costs have risen a lot. Developers will also add that they think that neighbors and local governments put up too many obstacles. And so you don't have these new residential neighborhoods cropping up, making way for the next wave of families.
So it's basically just, it's not even just, it was the cost, but it was also like NIMBYism a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what developers would say, although okay. I think some local leaders might disagree.
Would say different things, yes. All right, so then the second reason was single-family construction plummeted while multifamily took off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that kind of goes along with the decline in new subdivisions, but it became a lot harder to build single-family homes. And so what really did take off in the 2010s was multifamily. So developers were building a lot more apartments, especially in urban centers like Milwaukee and Dane County. And so a lot of the new construction that you do see, especially, you know, like me, if you live in Milwaukee, you'll see a lot of apartments going up. Mm-hmm. You won't see nearly as much single family home construction.
And so is that it's tied into the other thing as far as, because like with new, a house takes up more space than building up versus building out, right? And so the ability to focus on an apartment building, especially in congested, you get to Southeast Wisconsin, there's not that many open lots left anyways, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it depends. There's definitely some space, you know, in Waukesha County, the suburbs within Milwaukee County, there's definitely developable land there. But the economics are such that it just has made sense for developers to really focus on multifamily, and the single family market just hasn't been there in the way that it was in the previous decade. So you've seen this really drastic slowdown in single family home construction.
We're talking to Genevieve Redston, who is a business reporter covering real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about how and why construction and home ownership has slowed over the last 15 years in Wisconsin. And so the third reason you identified was home ownership fell, and yet home prices have been rising.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. A lot of these trends in the last decade didn't become quite so noticeable until the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's because a lot of people were renting in that decade. You know, a lot of people lost their homes or lost economic opportunities in the Great Recession. And so you had a lot more people in the rental market. And Wisconsin's home ownership rate, bottomed out in 2019, just before the pandemic. In 2019, Wisconsin's home ownership rate was 66%. And then came the pandemic. We were in this crazy, unprecedented economic moment. The Federal Reserve slashed interest rates. So suddenly people could get really cheap mortgages. And a lot of millennials who had delayed home ownership longer than their parents decided that they wanted to take advantage of this moment. Many people were working from home, spending more time inside. Maybe they wanted that extra bedroom or a little bit more yard space. And many people were starting families and decided now is the time. Now is when I would like to go buy a home. And so you have this big surge in demand, especially for single family homes, which we hadn't been building in the numbers that we had been previously for about a decade. And so Wisconsin's home ownership rate rose really dramatically during the course of the pandemic. In 2022, the state's home ownership rate hit 70% compared to the 66% in 2019. So that's a pretty drastic change in just a few years. And so the surge in demand, especially for a specific kind of home, for owner-occupied single-family homes, has really driven up costs because you just have a lot of people competing for a small supply of inventory.
And that is definitely, I feel like the anecdotes of my sister-in-law has been trying to, well, she did, she is closing in a house, but like it sounded like New York in certain places of like showing up and like 35 people put in an offer. And this is for, you know, like the under 500,000 suburbs of Milwaukee and just, and you know, having to go $30,000-$40,000 over asking price and no inspection and
no, no one's, those are the things that really bothered me. Cause I was like, I can't walk into, an open house, be like, here's your asking price plus a bucket of cash. Cause I don't have that kind of money. Most people don't, but that's felt like what you needed. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we even got a home last year was insanity to me. And it worked. And, but yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what's like now versus even last year. Cause I have friends who've just given up. They're like, nope, I'm just going to rent for another, how many other years? Because they just can't see themselves ever being able to afford a house.
And I implore people, don't not get an inspection.
Oh,
that's a terrible idea.
That seems like it should be illegal. Like an inspection should have to happen.
Not a negotiating chip.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is people will forego, not inspections, but the appraisals too.
Yeah.
I mean, they just want a house. And I've seen a couple of my friends really step in the muck because of those decisions. And to me, I'm like, no, those are non-starters. Those are non-starters to me.
And it especially puts first-time home buyers in a bind because they're likely to be financing more of this purchase. They haven't built up the home equity. They can't make these all cash offers. Yeah. And so, you know, interestingly enough, you often see millennials and baby boomers in these bidding wars. And baby boomers have been homeowners for much longer. And so they have the upper hand. And so you have, you know, kids and their parents vying for the same houses. Yeah. And often millennials are losing out.
And are you saying, is it baby boomers because they're downsizing? So they're buying, because I would also remember, and maybe this is in the last point as far as developers focusing on building rentals. Because I remember, I think last fall, and maybe it was your article, as far as in Milwaukee, they're not building condos. Like, and it's like a natural step for baby boomers to downsize and move into Milwaukee to live in a condo.
Or a townhouse.
But they're not building those. And so to downsize, they're now competing with first time homeowners or buyers that don't need a big house. And so is that where the competition and the conflict is coming from?
Yeah. I hear that often from realtors, from people both buying and selling their homes. And I think millennials, especially those who missed out on the low interest rates in the early years of the pandemic, are really feeling like, you know, they're in a bind. They, you know, home prices continue to rise in Wisconsin because there's such a limited supply. And now people who might want to move are really reluctant to list their homes. I think the Wall Street Journal called it golden handcuffs. You have this great interest rate. It's really unlikely you're going to get anything like that anytime soon. And so even if you'd like a different place or a different location, you don't want to give that up. And so it's a real bottleneck, and it's just driving up prices even as interest rates are much higher than they were, you know, a year or 2 years ago.
Like for my husband and I, and we're both in our 60s, our house is paid off. And so the thought of wanting to go to even a condo or a townhouse, and if the cash price from the house isn't going to cover that, I don't want another mortgage
rent. You don't want to pay $3,000 in rent every month.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
And so for the last go ahead, Genevieve.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to put, with the couple minutes we have left, I want to make sure we get to the developers have focused more on building rentals as your fourth point.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we did was we looked at the housing stock in Wisconsin's urban counties. We looked at Brown County, Dane County, Milwaukee County, and Waukesha County. And we looked at homes that were built in the decade of the housing boom, so 2000 to 2009. And then homes built in the wake of the crash, so 2010 to 2019. And what we found was the homes built in the 2000s are much more likely to be owner-occupied than the homes built in the 2010s. And that's because there were a lot more renters after the Great Recession, and developers realized that it was good business. And so developers have really focused on building rentals. And so there are fewer options, especially you brought up condos. That was something I wrote about earlier this year.
That was your article.
It's just, it's just, it makes more sense financially for developers to focus on building rentals. And it really makes the competition for, single family homes or condos really fierce.
And so we only have 1 minute left, but I want to sneak this question in. So with the package of bills that was introduced this week, from the many conversations you've had with developers, and this is your beat. And so do you feel like on at least face value, those are bills that could address the problems that you've been surfacing?
Yeah, I think that they're designed to address some of the financing concerns that developers have. You know, with high interest rates now, it's really hard to bring these projects over the finish line. But I also think that a lot of developers would say they didn't go far enough. They were hoping for more action against NIMBYism that they didn't get. But I do think a lot of people think it's a promising first step.
Got it. All right. Well, Genevieve Redston, we'll have to have you back. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That you bought today.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And he is Greg Bach. And Greg's a soccer fan.
I am.
Are you excited that Milwaukee's getting a soccer team?
I am only upset about one thing. It's not happening sooner.
It's 2025?
Yeah. It's dumb.
Did you hear that Madison's getting a women's soccer team?
I love it.
Soccer. Wisconsin.
I love soccer. And I want to just start calling it football.
You think that'll fly?
I don't care. I love
football.
Football is life.
Football is life. But yeah, so we talked about this last summer when they announced that they were going to have crowdsourcing, like people get to vote on what the name is. So last summer it was tons of people submitted names. What did you say? The Milwaukee Kickers? You had something that was pretty funny.
I think it was something. It was a long name. I don't remember. That was a long time ago, my friend.
It was also a long time ago. Many jokes ago.
Yeah.
But they got more than 4,000 suggestions.
Oh, that's good.
And now they've narrowed it down to 64.
Yep.
And they're now doing the classic bracket, you know, head to head, and letting people vote between this name versus that name until we get down to the last two, and then by voting proxy, we will have a name, because right now it's just Milwaukee Pro Soccer is the
Milwaukee soccer team.
That lacks a little panache.
Little panache. It's kind of like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
Do they pick a name yet?
They do. They're the
Commanders.
That's a dumb name.
Yeah.
Same with Cleveland's new name, the Guardians.
Oh, is that Cleveland's new name?
Yeah, it's their new name. It's not even named after like the Guardians of like freedom.
The galaxy?
It's Guardians for Traffic. I'm not even kidding you. Look it up. It's named after two statues that are at a bridge. It's dumb.
Oh, okay.
Statues are pretty cool, though.
The statues are cool, but the name is dumb.
All right. So they're basically have already gone through, I think they've posted six so far. So you can vote on www.milwaukeeprosoccer.com/name the club. And so I just figured we would go through and through majority wins since there's three of us.
All right.
So match one, Milwaukee Tall Boys or Milwaukee Confluence?
I'd rather say the Milwaukee Tall Boys.
I say Tall Boys.
What's a confluent? Like,
that's where the rivers meet. That's where the waters meet.
Ugh, whatever.
Or geologist.
Whatever college.
I'm going with Confluence.
I'm going with Tall Boys.
I'm going with Tall Boys. Sorry, Jane.
Okay.
Match number two, Milwaukee Barons. Milwaukee Cheese.
Barons. There's no way I'm voting for
just
cheese.
The Milwaukee Cheese is...
That's just the bad...
The cheese head?
The reviews write themselves at that point.
Yeah.
Cheddars.
And imagine...
You should have submitted
that. The Milwaukee Sharp Cheddars.
And imagine the cross-promotion with Charlie, where it could be the, the Milwaukee Barons for like one game, and he's like, come on now, I'm just...
Just writing hire more brand deals for him.
That's what I'm doing, baby.
What's your vote?
Milwaukee Cheese.
Well, are you just...
I'm doing Milwaukee Barons.
I don't care. I'm just... She's doing my own thing.
Okay.
Okay, so then match number three. Lake Effect versus Milwaukee Wings.
Neither of those are good. Lake Effect, I think of radio when I hear that. Mm-hmm. So just welcome to Milwaukee Pro Soccer, Lake Effect.
But also, how are wings associated with Milwaukee?
It's the College Rava.
Yeah.
Jane, you're really good. This is a Milwaukee trivia. It's like you've lived here your whole life or something.
Odd. I'm going with wings.
With the College Rava, I think I go with wings.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I go with wings. Yeah.
Match number four, Milwaukee Alliance versus Milwaukee Masons.
I'm going Alliance because I ain't giving a dime to the secret society.
The masonry.
I've read the Da Vinci Code. Milwaukee Alliance just sounds cool. It sounds unifying for me. So,
thoughts, Jane?
I don't like either of those. I'm going with the Sharp Cheddars. I'm entering my own.
Got it.
Oh wow!
All right, I will also put Milwaukee Alliance, and then we got two more for at least for now. Milwaukee Union versus Milwaukee Brigade.
I don't really like either of those.
What were the other?
We're the losers.
3,900
Seriously.
There's 38. Two.
The Fartknockers.
The Fuddruckers?
The Fartknockers.
Fartknockers. Milwaukee Union versus Milwaukee Brigade.
I would go Milwaukee Union.
I would agree with Greg.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I was going to say Brigade, but I don't. Okay. I'm not going to die on that hill. All right. And then the last one, at least for now, Milwaukee Ride versus Future Milwaukee.
Both of those are dumb, too.
Oh, those are terrible.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Ride makes me think of Milwaukee Wave a little bit.
It's Harley.
Oh, it's Harley.
Yeah,
it's Harley.
Exactly. Which,
Future Milwaukee just sounds like a rapper who's going to get sued by Future.
So I feel like out of the 12 that have been released so far, I'm going to name all of them. It's not how the voting goes, but at least for today, which is your favorite? I'm going to read all of them again. Milwaukee Tallboys, Milwaukee Confluence, Milwaukee Barons, Milwaukee Cheese, Lake Effect, Milwaukee Wings, Milwaukee Alliance, Milwaukee Masons, Milwaukee Union, Milwaukee Brigade, Milwaukee Ride, Future Milwaukee.
God.
It's a lot. I know which mine is.
I do too.
I do too. Milwaukee Alliance. I like that.
Okay.
Milwaukee Wings.
Okay.
I like the tall boys. What does that say about me?
That you really missed drinking since you got pregnant.
Oh, there's a lot of beer. But yeah, so we'll see. I'm interested. I would love to see the list, as we said, of the names that didn't make the cut to be voted on. Because some of these are suspect.
Someone wrote the Kia boys and Milwaukee Pro Soccer quote tweeted and said, there's always one. Yeah, I'd love to see the losers.
I would love to see the really clever losers that they're like, no, we can't.
We won't.
They're funny.
Yeah.
We laugh.
But we couldn't.
But we can't. All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. But coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about the beer wars and why these beer companies feel like they need to appeal to anyone's political leanings whatsoever. Because it's just... ridiculous. And then we're going to talk about wild parsnips.
I'm so excited.
This is your story.
I know.
And so I'm going to let you take the lead when we talk to our guests, Jason Granberg and Mackenzie Manicki.
Oh, we have another guest.
We have guests. Oh. And they're going to tell us about why parsnips are dangerous.
I found
more dangerous than poison ivy, I guess.
It's really interesting.
I thought you could eat parsnips.
Well, we'll get into this.
We'll get into it.
And so, I found a special song.
Oh, of course you did. All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Now we're
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.